Another third down. This one third and four. Bazala rolls to his right. Stops. Looks downfield. Got Schaffner. Complete. And he's into the end zone. Touchdown. Hanover Hawks from 34 yards out. First down. Witt looking to pass. Right side blitz coming, and he's gone. Oh, my goodness, did that pocket collapse immediately. Witt thought he had some time to develop a screen pass, and no way, no how. T.J. Allen on the stop along with Joe Fishpaw. Beautiful touchdown pass, Marcus Bazala to Kirkland Schaffner. Boy, Bazala really showed tonight how he has matured as a passer when needed to be for the Hanover Hawks since taking over for Clayton Cheatham after that injury in the season opener. And then the Hanover defense coming up big, one of several sacks of Bryce Witt of Dinwiddie as Hanover holds on for the six-point win tonight in round two. That was our game of the week, and there were plenty of other great ones, and we'll talk about them all on this edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network. Happy Friday night / Saturday morning / whenever you have decided to download this edition of the podcast. Rob Witham along with you. Wow, we had a great game tonight. Had a frantic a comeback. We didn't have the frantic finish in the last second heroics that we did a week ago. But I'll tell you, Dinwiddie, with 8:49 to go in the game, their offense looked dead. Their hopes looked dead. They were down 23-3. They had not shown any signs of coming to life on the offensive side of the football. But they did. Two drives, two scores, and got a credit. Bryce Witt on a fourth down and 11. Time running down. Dinwiddie had called their final timeout to kind of avoid some confusion. So they were out of timeouts. And on a fourth and 11, they just dialed it up. And Witt had tried on multiple occasions to hit Ty Freeland downfield and was not able to do so. But did he find him then? And Freeland was covered great by Hanover, but the ball was perfectly placed. Freeland catches the ball, Dinwiddie down to the one-yard line. And this was when they were trying to cut it to a one-score game. It was 23-10. Clock was under 3 minutes or so to go. And then, as good as Hanover's defense was tonight in many occasions, first half, you know, again, they held Dinwiddie to 3 points over the first three quarters and 3 minutes. And then Dinwiddie roars back for the two scores. But the critical juncture in the game, I believe, for the Hanover defense was, you know, it would have been very easy. Dinwiddie could have punched it in from a yard out quickly, kicked the extra point, and then you go on the onside kick. And even though you lost, you know, you don't have any timeouts left. There's still 230, 240, 250 to go. But Hanover stops them not once but twice on first and goal and second and goal. It takes a while for Dinwiddie to adjust and get players in and call the plays, and they finally score on a one-yard touchdown pass. They had to go to the air to get it done, and Witt does it, kicks the extra point. But what was so crucial about that was how much time it took off the clock. 1:38 left was when Dinwiddie got that last touchdown. And you're thinking, okay, so what's so important about that? Very simple. They tried the onside kick. Hanover recovers. And with Dinwiddie out of timeouts and 98 seconds to go, Hanover does not have to get a first down. They ran one play, took two knees, and the game was over. If Dinwiddie scores with 2:38 to go, Hanover has to get at least one first down to seal the game. And so credit the Hanover defense. Those are the types of plays that get you into state quarterfinal action. And so Hanover, without Clayton Cheatham tonight, they had the Conference 20 Offensive Player of the Year in Marcus Bazala, who just once again, coming up big, 196 yards on 35 carries. And then 6 of 15 for 99 yards, including the touchdown you heard to Schaffner at the beginning of the podcast. And I also want to credit Ben Mahone. Ben steps in at tailback as Bazala moves at quarterback. And Ben tonight had 7 carries for 70 yards, and he had some very crucial runs. And the reason why I say that is if Mahone is not successful when he's given the rock, then Dinwiddie can just dial up on Bazala. I mean, they can send nine guys after him. And teams that have beaten Hanover this year have done that. They've stopped the running game in the sense that they stopped the tailback and they just dialed everybody onto Bazala. And when Bazala has been stopped, Highland Springs, for example, Hanover doesn't win. In this case tonight, Mahone keeps the Generals' defense honest. They have to watch out for Ben Mahone. And so Mahone gets big credit for helping break Bazala open to get the 196 yards. And the Hawks win the time of possession war, not quite 2-1. They had the ball for almost 30 of the game's 48 minutes. And so congratulations to Hanover. They moved to 9-3. They are on their way to the 4A state quarterfinals. Got to give a salute to the Dinwiddie Generals. A tough way to end the season. They finish at 8-4. And they're going to look back and just kind of try to figure things out. They've got a lot of pieces coming back for next year, including Bryce Witt at quarterback. Kevon Pope, the big wide receiver slash tight end, was a non-factor offensively tonight. Another one of the big things that Hanover did, he caught one pass for no gain. And that's huge because Pope can be a difference maker, a game changer. And Hanover did not allow that to happen tonight. Now, let's get to the confusion about who Hanover plays next. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but we will briefly go over this. It's very simple. If you were listening to the RVA Sports Network scoreboard show after the game of the week, we were talking with Hanover head coach Derek Stout, and we just kind of stopped mid-interview and brought the VHSL website up, and it clearly states that in 4A East, conferences 17 and 18 are paired, conferences 19 and 20 are paired, and a regional champion will be crowned at the state semifinals. So you read that, and that tells you there's no cross-bracketing, and so Hanover would go to Cortland next week in the finals of that 8-team pod in conferences 19 and 20, because Hanover was the 2 seed and Cortland was the 1. So we get off the air tonight on WHAN, and we are told that it's not going to be Cortland, that there is cross-bracketing. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. That's not what the VHSL handbook says. I brought up the tournament format PDF and the whole nine yards. So lengthy talk off the air with Hanover's athletic director, with Coach Stout, and also got in touch with the region tournament director, who is Jeff Walters, the AD at Dinwiddie. And he was gracious enough to get back with us relatively quickly. And Mr. Walters confirms to RVA Sports Network that there is cross-bracketing in 4A East, and that means Hanover, as the lower seed out of their 8-team sub-region, they've got to play the higher seed from the other one. And the higher seed from the other one is unbeaten Lake Taylor. And so, as of now, unless something strange happens, Hanover will go to Norfolk and play Lake Taylor in a state quarterfinal. Now, whether that is Friday night next week or whether it is Saturday, we've also heard confusion on that. Most years, we get to this point, and we play on Friday night. But Saturday is an option. Thanksgiving holiday has never stopped us from playing Friday night football before at this point. So as soon as we know, folks, we'll let you know. The other matchups that are coming up next week, we know who they are. But we're not going to be able to give you specific date time yet. We can give you location and who's going to play who. So first of all, we want to apologize for the confusion and for the erroneous information at the end of our broadcast, believing that Hanover and Cortland would play against each other. But frankly, we were looking at the Virginia High School League handbook, looking at the PDF that they have online that discusses the tournament formats of all 12 regions. And all we can do is read that and look at it and go, okay, they say no cross-bracketing. It says these 8 teams play, these 8 teams play, and the 2 that come out, region champion will be crowned at a state semifinal. 3A East, if you look right below it on that PDF file, it says that 3A East is going to cross bracket after the regional semi. So it's very plain and clear that 3A East is going to do it. And so that means that Hopewell, who ran away from Skyline in the second half tonight, 67-28, the final score, they're now going to have to face either Pocosin, if Phoebus wins their second round game, and that's not till Saturday at 2 p.m. Phoebus, the top seed out of that other 8 teams. If Phoebus wins, Hopewell will host Pocosin. If Phoebus loses, Hopewell will host, and I can't remember right off the top of my head the team Phoebus is playing on Saturday, but whoever it is, if they knock off Phoebus, they would come to Hopewell. So Hopewell's going to get a third-round home game. The question's going to be, who is it against? And from what we can tell and what the VHSL handbook says, but of course, you know, we looked at the handbook tonight and thought we read it right and found out that we were wrong. And we were just briefly, we were told that the region handbook states that there is cross-bracketing. So why what was put in the region handbook did not get translated to the VHSL's tournament format PDF that was released, man, I think September 30th. Why that didn't translate, I don't know. But right now, from what we have been told, it will be Hanover going to Lake Taylor next weekend. We will make the trip to Norfolk. That will be our game of the week, whenever it may be. And just stay with us on Hanover Sports on Twitter. As soon as we get confirmation on those things, we'll let you know. All right, let's get to the other big stories of the night. Biggest story of the night by far. The reign of L.C. Byrd is over. Hermitage ends L.C. Byrd's three-year reign as state champions in 5A with a 21-12 win at Randolph-Macon College tonight. Hermitage got all of their points in the first half. They hold on. Byrd gets a touchdown, can't convert. That makes it a nine-point game, and that kind of put the Skyhawks behind the eight ball for the rest of the second half. Hermitage's defense comes up big on multiple occasions. Don't forget about a blocked field goal attempt that Hermitage had all the way back in the first quarter. You think about that. That field goal's good. It could be 21-15, Byrd driving to try to win, not 21-12, Byrd desperate because they got to score twice. So even all the way back in the first quarter, huge play there by the special teams of Hermitage. Last team to beat Byrd in the postseason, Hermitage, November 25th, 2011. And almost four calendar years later, they do it again. And so the teams have met each of the last six postseasons, and they've now split the six contests. Hermitage won in 2010 when they went all the way to the state final. They won in 2011. Byrd won the last three seasons, and Hermitage gets the win tonight to go to 12-0. And so congratulations to Patrick Kane and company, but we would be remiss without saluting head coach David Bedwell and the Skyhawks for a run that has been, frankly, unmatched in the Central Region when it comes to back-to-back-to-back state championships, and certainly had the team that could do it again, but they just fall short tonight. So Hermitage moves on, 12-0, and they go back to where it all started, August 28th. They'll go to Highland Springs next week in a 5A state quarterfinal. Highland Springs survives, and I do mean survives, Lee Davis. Remember 6 weeks ago on the game of the week when Highland Springs dismantled Lee Davis 42-0 when they were in the midst of a four consecutive shutout streak defensively? And so the only people who gave Lee Davis a chance to win the game tonight, and we talked about it on our podcast back on Wednesday, that Lee Davis would easily have to play their best game of the year, but that they had the pieces to give Highland Springs a run for their money. And that's exactly what they did. Now, Highland Springs had the lead 20-14 at half, and Lee Davis matched them touchdown for touchdown. Highland Springs would get ahead. They finally got a two-score lead. Lee Davis would come back, not once but twice. Cut it to 41-34, 2 minutes to go. Nathan Evans, they got him on track, as opposed to what did not happen in Mechanicsville 6 weeks earlier. And so, first of all, congratulations to Lauren Johnson and the Springers. I know that they are breathing a sigh of relief tonight. They've won 11 straight. They're 11-1. And they've got the only team that beat them coming back to Kreider Stadium next week. Hermitage beat Highland Springs 21-20 in overtime on opening night, August 28th. Oh, those long 3 months ago now. And it's round two. Springers get a chance to get revenge, but more importantly, finally punch a ticket to the state semifinals. Hermitage was last in the state semis 4 years ago when they lost on a missed extra point 10-9 to Centerville. And they're hoping to get back. That'll be a titanic matchup next week at Kreider Stadium in the east end of Henrico County. So the final two teams in Henrico County will face off against each other next week in a 5A state quarterfinal. Got to take a minute and put our hats off to Ryan Turnage and the Lee Davis Confederates. What an incredible turnaround. Last year, injury-plagued, 2-8 record, first season for Coach Turnage. Things just did not go well. They lost Chase Mumaugh, their quarterback, early on. They lost several other players. They were playing freshmen and sophomores in several key positions. And you know what? The pain of last year paid off greatly this year. You look at Billy Kemp, the two-way sophomore. wide receiver, defensive back, and kick and punt returner. He took one to the house tonight. We were impressed with his play last year as a freshman. And he was such an integral part of what happened with Lee Davis's turnaround this season. Nick Risenweaver, his older brother Mark, played there a few years ago, back when Lee Davis made the playoffs in 2011-2012. And, you know, Mark told me after he graduated, watch out for Nick, watch out for my little brother. And he was absolutely right. Risenweaver, both sides of the football, wide receiver, defensive secondary, just a phenomenal job. Nathan Evans, breakout season at running back. He'll be back next year. Risenweaver graduates, Mumaugh graduates, several others graduate. So there are going to be holes to fill for Lee Davis. But, man, I don't think there's any doubt, and you may argue with me on this point, but I firmly believe that Ryan Turnage is the coach of the year in the Central Region. To go from 2-8 to 9-3 in the toughest district, not only in the area, but possibly in the state of Virginia, the Capital District, to sweep his county rivals, beat them all, and then to do what they did tonight, almost pulling off the upset of Highland Springs, nothing short of phenomenal. Hats off to the Lee Davis Confederates. Incredible season. So Hermitage, Highland Springs, and 5A next week. 5A North, at Lee's season comes to a close tonight in Leesburg. They were up 21-20 at the half at Tuscarora. But Tuscarora made some defensive adjustments at halftime, and Atlee could only get 6 points on the board after intermission. And Tuscarora gets the win 42-27. They're at 12-0. They're trying to repeat as 5A North Region champs. They were the team that lost to Byrd in the state final last year. And for the Atlee Raiders, they finish at 7-5. That's a disappointing record for them, I know. If you talk to any of them, they will tell you that they thought that they were better than a 7-5 team. And on many occasions, they showed that they were. But defense was an issue for them this season. And with the way Atlee plays football, kind of the way that Oregon plays football, if you watch them, if you get so many three and outs in a row, it can come back to haunt you. And if you don't have a defense that can put the hammer down, then you're going to struggle. And that combination happened to Atlee too many times this year. Offense goes a few series, not able to generate, you know, points on the board. Defense can't stop the opponent. Suddenly, you know, you're down. If you can score quick, that's great. If you're down seven, if you're down 21, it's especially against a quality opponent, it's tough. It happened in that Monday night game they had at Highland Springs. It happened when Lee Davis pulled away from them the following week. And tonight, Tuscarora just too much after the halftime break. But 7-5, Atlee finishes their ninth season under head coach Roscoe Johnson. And so one team left from Hanover County, two teams left from Henrico, and they play each other next week. And there are two teams standing in Chesterfield County, and they will play each other next week. Cosby gets the home win, 17-12, in a 6A South second-round matchup over River Bend. And credit River Bend. Cosby jumped out to a quick 14-0 lead. Joe Hunt, 68 to the house, 46 to the house. And it looked like Cosby was going to roll. And then River Bend promptly shut down that offense for the rest of the night. They only scored 3 points. River Bend got it down to 5, but that's as close as they would come. Titans win again. You remember a few weeks ago, Cosby was going to James River for that big matchup. It was basically a de facto elimination game in 6A South, and both teams were 3-4. Well, Cosby has turned on the afterburners. They've won 5 in a row since then. They're 8-4, and they go back to Thomas Dale for a 6A state quarterfinal next week. The Knights, man, that I'm sure the bus never, the wheels never hit Interstate 95 once they left C.D. Hilton all the way back to exit 61 in Chester. 17-14. Thomas Dale, the 3 seed, knocks off the 2 seed, C.D. Hilton. Now, Thomas Dale Cosby also played August 28th, opening night. And in fact, if you'll recall, we aired that game live here online on the RVA Sports Network. Thomas Dale won that game 30-17, but I can tell you definitively, the Knights are a totally different team than what they were that night, and the Titans are definitely a much different team than they were that night. And this game, you can take the game August 28th and throw it out the window. This game coming up next weekend is not going to look anything like the first meeting. Cosby, Thomas Dale, next weekend, 6A state quarterfinal. That's the good news. We know that a Chesterfield team is going to make the state semis. The bad news is waiting for them on the other side of that bracket out of the beach is going to be either Ocean Lakes or Oscar Smith. They have their showdown next week. Winner will get the winner of Thomas Dale Cosby, and that's going to be tough. But Lee Davis showed tonight that just because it's going to be tough doesn't necessarily mean you roll over and play dead. So for the Titans or the Knights, one of them is going to get a chance to play in the Final Four on the first weekend of December. Same for the Panthers, Springers in 5A. 3A East tonight, Hopewell. They blew the doors open in the second half, and they put 67 on the board, and they beat Skyline 67-28. Now, this game was close around halftime, but then Hopewell, there was just no answer by Skyline for Hopewell's offense after intermission. And so the Blue Devils are now 10-2 on the season. And I'm going to tell you this. If we're reading the VHSL handbook correctly, 3A East will cross bracket into the next round. So that means Hopewell is going to get one of the two following teams. If Phoebus wins tomorrow, then they get Pocosin. And I know we mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I just want to break this down real quick as I get some information up here in front of me on my laptop. In 3A East, if Phoebus beats York on Saturday, then Hopewell would host Pocosin, who beat Lakeland tonight, in the next round. Now, if somehow York upsets Phoebus tomorrow or Saturday, then it would be York coming to Hopewell as... Yeah, it is. It would be York coming as the lower seed. So Hopewell's going to play either York or Pocosin in the next round because they are cross-bracketing in the next round. Even though it says regional semifinals on the VHSL PDF that I'm looking at right now. And, you know, regional semifinals, you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, 3A East is a region. The semis would be the Final Four. But if you've only got two teams left in a region, there's no way to cross bracket. They're going to play each other no matter what. So the cross bracketing has to take place now. So we have Hopewell hosting either Pocosin next week or York if they upset Phoebus on Saturday. If Phoebus wins Saturday, then they would host James Monroe in the other 3A East, and then the survivor of that would get Hopewell in 2 weeks if Hopewell can get the win in the next round. So that's 3A East, 2A East. Oh, my goodness. Tough, tough end of the season for the Goochland Bulldogs. Number one seed, had eight seed Greensville County coming up all the way from the Emporia area. And Greensville, they're another team whose bus wheels didn't hit 95 all the way back to the North Carolina border. A victory, 22-19 at Goochland tonight, and the Bulldogs' season comes to an end. Disappointing, very disappointing end. And the number one seed in 2A East is out. So King William and Amelia bow out in round one, and Goochland bows out in round two. So the teams remaining in the VHSL postseason, Thomasdale and Cosby in 6A South, they play each other next week. Hermitage Highland Springs in 5A South, they have each other next week. Hanover in 4A East, they're going to Lake Taylor, from what we have been told. Hopewell in 3A East, they will get Pocosin or York next week. Those are the final teams remaining again in VHSL. In the VISAA Saturday, two teams are going for back-to-back state titles. Trinity Episcopal in Division II. They kick at 12 noon against St. Anne's Belfield, who they defeated in the regular season by 19 points. And in Division I, Benedictine gets Bishop Ironton in the Division I state championship at Benedictine. That game kicks off at 1 p.m. So good luck to the cadets, as well as good luck to the Titans, as they both are looking for state championships. Speaking of state championships, as we segue out of football and into volleyball, we were down at the Siegel Center on Friday afternoon, checked out the 4A State Boys Championship, Colonial Heights Midlothian round four. Colonial Heights had won two of the previous three meetings, and they did to Midlothian today what Midlothian did to Hanover last year. If you'll recall, last year Midlothian and Hanover played four times. And Midlothian was up 2-1 in the series when they met for the state championship. And Midlothian, in a five-set thriller, beat Hanover and claimed the crown. They come in today as the defending champions, but Colonial Heights had their number again. An incredible 29 kills for Noah Murdoch, who's just signed this past week to play baseball at UVA. He could play volleyball at the D1 level, too. And with those 29 kills, he leads Colonial Heights to a four-set win over Midlothian and a state championship. Congratulations to all three Noahs. I wanted to ask Coach after the game, how do you call out a Noah in practice? You know, you got nicknames or whatever the case may be. Stuart Crinkley, Tyler Gingrich, and the rest of the Colonials, just a fantastic job. And their head coach, Mark Lee, had a quote in the press conference afterwards, and if I have the opportunity to do it, I'm going to try to download it and put it on the next edition of our podcast, because it was one of the best answers to a question about why a coach coaches high school sports. In fact, I think it's the best answer I've ever heard, and it needs to be heard publicly. It's a story that just, I'm sitting there and I'm just thinking to myself, Coach, you are hitting the nail on the head. That is why you do what you do. Frankly, it's why we do what we do from a media standpoint, and why we enjoy covering high school sports so much. So I'm going to try to make it a note on our midweek podcast that you can enjoy when you're on your tryptophan turkey hangover on Thursday evening. If you want to download it then, we're going to probably get it done on Wednesday. But that his answer and his quotation needs to be heard. So we're going to make sure we do that. But Colonial Heights, congratulations. And then we wanted to stay for James River in the 6A states. Well, of course, we could not because we had to get to Hanover to set up for our radio broadcast. But congratulations to the Rapids. They sweep Ocean Lakes in three sets. And the Rapids win the 6A State Boys Championship. Congratulations, James River. Phenomenal season. Now on Saturday, Goochland, the girls go for the 2A state title, and that's going to be just crazy because Goochland is unbeaten, and in all the matches they've won, I think they're 27 or 28-0, they have won every match except one in three sets. Goochland has lost one set all year. Not one game, not one match, one set. And they get Marion Senior out of Southwest Virginia in the 2A final. Should be a 1 o'clock start on Saturday at the Siegel Center. Good luck to the Bulldogs. Some other news real quick. VCU game effort tonight at Madison Square Garden, but falls short to Duke in that big showdown. But VCU will learn a lot from that game, which will serve them well come Atlantic 10 season and certainly in the postseason. Richmond's women get a big win tonight over William and Mary, and they stay unbeaten. Congratulations to them on that victory. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, Randolph-Macon Volleyball. Had a chance to watch them online on Thursday night in the national quarterfinals. They had a lead first set, let it slip away. Also had a good lead in the third set, trying to force a fourth, but just too much Carthage College out of Wisconsin. And Randolph-Macon fell 3-0, but they didn't get swept. In the record book, it'll say that, but they played very well. They just had some ill-timed mistakes and the inability to close out, which has not been a problem for Randolph-Macon most of this season. That was the first time Randolph-Macon's ever been to the national quarterfinal. It's the first time the Old Dominion Athletic Conference, the ODAC, has ever been represented in the Final Eight in Division III volleyball. So hats off to Bill Rogers, the head coach, Courtney Lowers, the ODAC Player of the Year, third-team All-American, Katie Rosberg, Emily Ortiz, and the rest of the senior class, 28-8 final record, and just an incredible memory-making season for Randolph-Macon Volleyball. Good luck to Virginia Union Football. Get their first postseason bid in the Division II tournament since 1991. They hit the turf on Saturday afternoon. Good luck to the Panthers. Bring home a win back to the RVA. That would be fantastic. All right, as we get set to wrap up this edition of Central Region Now, a couple of housekeeping notes. Number one, this past week, in fact, in the last 48 to 72 hours, we have confirmed 7 new basketball broadcasts for this season on the RVA Sports Network. And I'm going to have to close the podcast soon because my voice is saying I'm done. And if you want to see the broadcast schedule, all you have to do is go to any of our websites, rvasportsnetwork.com, HanoverCountySports.net, HenricoCountySports.net, ChesterfieldCountySports.net, and on the right side of the page, you'll see all of our live broadcasts. We've added LC Bird at Highland Springs Boys Basketball on Martin Luther King Day, January the 18th. We've confirmed our triple header for the StatVA.com Classic Girls Basketball, also at Highland Springs, the previous Saturday, January 16th. We've got a Highland Springs Meadowbrook Girls Boys doubleheader now on January the 26th down at MBK. And we'll start the season at Mills Godwin a week from Monday night, November 30th. It will be Manchester at Mills Godwin Girls Basketball live on the RBA Sports Network, 7:30 Eastern Time. And all of our basketball broadcasts can be heard on our YouTube channel. So you need to go to YouTube.com and search RBA Sports Network. You'll see our page. Click subscribe. If you do that, then you'll never miss a broadcast. Every time we have a broadcast, it will come up on your YouTube page. And, of course, we have links at all of our websites. We tweet links, etc., etc., to keep you in the know. But 7 basketball broadcasts added this week, and we've got more to come in December and February before the regular season comes to a close. And the only place that you can hear high school basketball online is right here with the RBA Sports Network. Fans, we will have a podcast midweek, even with the holiday, so we can break down state quarterfinal action in football and other news as well. So make sure you join us for that. We should be downloading and doing that podcast on Wednesday this week. Going to be out of town on Tuesday during the day. Got to pick up my daughter from Longwood University so she can come home and enjoy Thanksgiving. Or more importantly, work a lot over Black Friday and make some money for college. You know how you college listeners, you listening, you understand. And those of you in high school listening, you're soon to understand. Believe me. And you parents that are listening, you totally get what I'm saying, don't you? Mm-hmm. And Tuesday night after that, we're going to be at Randolph-Macon as the men take on Christopher Newport in college basketball action. All right, folks. Thanks for being with us all day today on Twitter with our volleyball coverage. Tonight with our football coverage. Follow us on Twitter wherever you may be. If you want to know everything going on in sports in the Richmond area, follow us on our main network Twitter feed, the RVA Sportsnet. That's at the RVA Sportsnet. If you live in Hanover, follow us on Hanover Sports. If you're in Henrico, follow us on Henrico Sports. If you're in Chesterfield, at Chesterfield Sports. And of course, you know, whatever you want to know, whatever you want to follow, follow us. And we thank all of you for doing that as well. All right, friends, Rob Witham saying thanks so much for being with us on another edition of Central Region Now. Congratulations to the Knights, the Titans, the Panthers, the Springers, the Hawks, and the Blue Devils, all with big wins. And good luck to the Cadets and the Titans in state championships in the BISAA on Saturday. Central Region Now, an exclusive podcast presentation of the RBA Sports Network and intended solely for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any rebroadcast or other use of the podcast without the express written consent of HCS Media LLC is strictly prohibited. Got to get the legalese in there. Thanks for being with us on the Game of the Week. Join us again next week. We will have Hanover on the Game of the Week next weekend, whenever it may be. And if we don't talk to each other prior to, hope you have a great Thanksgiving week. Rob Witham saying have a great weekend, and we'll see you on the sideline.